Imagine you're looking at a black hole. It's this absolute titan of the cosmos, right? Millions or maybe even billions of times the mass of our sun.
Right, yeah, it's just staggeringly huge.
Exactly. It's the ultimate anchor. It warps the very fabric of space-time around it with a gravitational grip so terrifyingly strong that not even light can escape.
Absolutely, nothing gets out.
Right. So it is, for all intents and purposes, the single most immovable object in the universe. But now, I want you to imagine something entirely mind-bending.
Okay, lay on me.
Imagine that exact same massive black hole suddenly moving out of the way. And I don't mean it's being pulled by the gravity of another passing galaxy.
Right.
I mean it physically shifts its position in space purely to dodge a logical paradox.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, that completely shatters our traditional understanding of celestial
It
mechanics.
really does.
Because we're so used to thinking of paradoxes as just, well, as theoretical headaches, you know?
Like stuff you argue about in a philosophy class.
Exactly. Or a late night debate over coffee. But in the framework we're looking at today, paradoxes aren't just abstract ideas. They're tangible physical forces with actual geometric consequences.
And that is exactly our mission for today's deep dive. We are plunging headfirst into this wildly fascinating theory called the Chrono Restart, or the CP framework.
That's such a brilliant concept.
It is. So our goal for you today is to explore exactly how a black hole uses all 6 degrees of freedom to, physically change its location or orientation in space, just to stop the universe's math from breaking down.
Right. To really grasp this, you have to picture the universe less like a giant empty room full of floating rocks and more like a massive, unimaginably complex computational
A
system.
giant computer.
Yeah, exactly. In this framework, when a paradox occurs, it essentially triggers a paradox sensor. The universe detects a fundamental logical contradiction, like an error in the code. And because the universe abhors a contradiction, even more than it abhors a vacuum, the black hole is literally forced to move to resolve that contradiction and prevent a system crash.
Okay, let's unpack this because it is incredibly dense. I mean, how do we even begin to visualize a black hole dodging a math error?
Well, to make sense of the math, we really have to look at this in two d distinct phases.
Right, and we're going to structure this by analyzing the movements in a very specific order today. First, the three linear
Yeah.
movements, and then we'll get into the three rotation-based paradoxes.
Perfect. Yeah, so first we need to understand how the black hole physically translates. That means how it moves in straight lines along the X, Y, and Z axes through space. And then when a straight line isn't enough to solve the problem, we look at the rotational paradoxes, where things get, incredibly twisty.
I love that approach.
Yeah.
So let's start with the linear movements translating straight through space, specifically what the framework calls the X surge,
Right, the excerpts.
or if we use the technical term, the asymmetric bootstrap impulse. What kind of paradox actually forces a black hole to surge straight forward?
So the underlying trigger here is the classic bootstrap paradox.
Oh, I think a lot of people know that one.
Yeah, you might be familiar with the concept. It's when something exists without ever actually being created.
Right.
In this scenario, imagine a comet falling toward the black hole. This comet is carrying valid mass and energy, but according to the universe's underlying data, it has a null causal register.
Wait, a null causal register, meaning it has no origin story.
Exactly. In the universe's code, there's no record of this comet ever being formed in a nebula or, breaking off from a planet.
Wow.
It simply appeared out of nowhere from a closed loop in time.
Okay, so it's like scanning a barcode at the grocery store, but the master database says the product you're holding was never actually manufactured.
That is a perfect analogy.
The physical object is in your hand, but the system says it doesn't exist.
Yeah. And that causes a massive problem for what the framework calls the conserved matter functional.
Okay, let me stop you there. Because conserved matter functional sounds like a term that requires a PhD just to pronounce.
Fair enough.
What does that actually mean?
Well, think of the conserved matter functional as the universe's ultimate accounting ledger.
Okay.
It's a strict mathematical rule that says energy and mass cannot be created or destroyed, only transferred. So the ledger absolutely cannot balance a particle that was never produced.
Ah, I see.
If that fake comet crosses the event horizon, a critical metric called the checksum experiences a massive divergence spike. The math essentially breaks down.
Yikes.
Now, the universe could have violated the law of conservation of mass, but it refuses to do that.
So instead of breaking the laws of physics, the black hole literally dodges.
Exactly.
It physically surges forward along the exact path of the incoming comet, the plus X impact vector. It runs away from the comet.
It just moves out of the way.
But wait, I have to ask. If the comet is stuck in a time loop, how does dodging actually help? Won't the comet just hit it eventually anyway?
That raises an important question about the geometry of time. The black hole isn't trying to outrun the comet forever.
Okay.
The equation for this X surge shows that the displacement is perfectly calculated to just buy time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A black hole shifts its position to delay the absorption event until the temporal loop naturally closes in some later eon. It just needs to keep the ledger balanced for the current epoch.
Buying time by physically moving out of the way. That is wild.
It really is.
But okay, that's an external threat, right? A comet coming from the outside.
Right.
What if the threat isn't coming from the outside?
Right.
What if the black hole generates a paradox from its own accretion disk?
Yeah.
This brings us to the wise way.
Yes. The grandfather lateral recoil. This is based on the famous grandfather paradox or the Novikov self-consistency principle.
Okay, setting the stage.
Imagine a quantum fluctuation happening right inside the black hole's own swirling accretion disk. But this isn't just any fluctuation. It carries a quantum state that, if the black hole absorbs it, would retroactively erase the black hole's own past.
Whoa. So it's the equivalent of going back in time and preventing your grandfather from meeting your grandmother.
Precisely.
If the black hole eats this specific fluctuation, it commits causal suicide.
Exactly. And to stop this, the framework relies on something called the perovskite crystal boundary layer.
Okay.
When this boundary detects the impending paradox, it triggers a lateral Y sway.
Wait, hold on. Perovskite. Isn't that a crystal structure we use in solar panels here on Earth?
Yeah, it is.
What is a crystalline structure doing inside a black hole's event horizon?
I'm glad you caught that. It's not a literal physical crystal made of minerals like we have on Earth.
Okay.
In this context, perovskite is a mathematical analogy the physicists are using to describe the geometric structure of the quantum phase state at the boundary. It behaves with the same rigid lattice-like properties as a perovskite crystal, acting as a highly sensitive lattice that detects causal errors.
Ah, okay. That makes much more sense.
Yeah.
So this quantum lattice detects the paradox, and the black hole sways to the side, orthogonally, along the y-axis.
Correct.
But I'm still not buying this. I have to push back here.
Sure.
Space isn't time. If I step to the left to avoid my grandfather, I'm still in the exact same timeline. How does moving orthogonally actually push a quantum fluctuation into the future?
That is exactly the right question, and it's where our everyday intuition about space and time completely fails us.
Okay, tell me why.
We treat them as separate things, but Einstein taught us they are a single fabric space-time.
Yeah.
To understand this, you have to picture light cones.
Okay, light cones. The visual representation of everything that can possibly affect us in the future or past.
Right. By stepping orthogonally moving at a perfect right angle to the infall plane, the black hole dramatically alters its relative geometry in space-time.
Oh, I think I see where this is going.
It doesn't just move the fluctuation out of its physical path. The sheer mass of the black hole dragging space-time along with it physically warps the light cone.
Wow.
It effectively bends the timeline so that the dangerous fluctuation is displaced into a future harmless state.
So the black hole leverages its own mass of gravity to work the grid.
Exactly.
Turning a timeline-destroying event into just a random, self-consistent emission later on.
Yeah.
It literally sidesteps the problem by bending causality itself.
It is the geometric price of surviving.
Yeah.
And it happens the exact instant the checksum divergence hits a microscopic threshold. The moment that line is crossed, the black hole recoils laterally to save its own history.
Incredible. Okay, let's look at the third and final linear movement, the Z heave.
Yes, the Z heave.
We've talked about external matter like comets and internal matter like fluctuations, but now we have to talk about the vacuum of space itself, the something from nothing paradox.
This is one of the most counterintuitive concepts in the whole framework. It raises a massive question about the nature of empty space.
Huh?
In quantum mechanics, a vacuum is never truly empty. It's a boiling soup of virtual particles constantly popping in and out of existence.
Right.
But under the CP4 framework, sometimes the quantum vacuum below a black hole exhibits a much higher zero-point checksum activity than the vacuum above it.
Wait, meaning the empty space underneath the black hole is somehow mathematically more active than the empty space on top of it?
Exactly. And this creates what the theory calls a differential pressure.
Okay.
The lower hemisphere of the black hole starts registering fluctuations that are suddenly converting into real mass. The universe's vacuum instructions are accidentally creating something from nothing at an unequal rate.
That sounds bad.
It is. It's a massive imbalance in the ledger.
So how does the black hole fix it? I mean, it can't just absorb empty space.
No, it can't. To equalize what they call the E-checksum decay profile across both of its poles, the black hole has to physically heave itself upward along the plus Z axis.
Moving toward the region of lower vacuum density. I need to wrap my head around that phrase, though. E-checksum decay profile. Are we just talking about balancing a scale?
In a way, yes. Think of the universe's rendering engine like a giant scale. If the vacuum below the black hole is generating too much phantom mass, the scale tips.
Okay.
By heaving its own staggering physical mass upward into the quieter vacuum, the black hole redistributes the gravitational load on the surrounding space-time, which balances the universal scale.
It is like a reverse hot air balloon.
Yes.
But instead of riding on hot air, it's paradoxically floating upward on the absolute absence of matter. It heaves itself up just to balance out the math of the empty space around it.
It's a stunning visual. It moves just enough to find equilibrium in the void.
Okay, so that perfectly covers the first phase of our order. We've surged, swayed, and heaved.
The three linear movements.
Right. The black hole can shift along the X, Y, and Z axes to dodge point threats. But simply moving physically out of the way only works if the threat is localized.
Very true.
What happens when the paradox isn't a comet coming at you or a pocket of empty space below you, but a structural contradiction stretching across the black hole's own surface?
Right, and this is where things get truly complicated, and it leads us into the rotation-based paradoxes.
The second part of our analysis.
Exactly. When the structure of the black hole itself is caught in a logical contradiction, linear movement just won't save it. It has to twist, it has to rotate.
Let's start with the roll, rotating around the x-axis to solve the firewall thermal asymmetry.
Yeah, so this brings us to the black hole information paradox. As a black hole evaporates over billions of years, it emits Hawking radiation.
Right, Stephen Hawking's famous discovery.
Exactly. But when quantum information returns to the surface via this radiation, the theoretical firewall at the event horizon burns asymmetrically.
Oh, interesting.
Because of localized paradoxes in the information retrieval, you end up with a situation where one polar cap of the black hole becomes significantly hotter than the other.
Here's where it gets really interesting. You have a black hole that is essentially burning up on its north pole, but freezing on its south pole.
And that thermal asymmetry creates a catastrophic split in the math right across the event horizon.
Up.
The framework notes a specific danger zone, a divergence breach threshold of 0.37. If the temperature difference pushes the divergence past 0.37, the system cannot maintain structural stability.
So what happens?
To renormalize its own surface temperature, the black hole rolls about its x-axis.
Okay, so it's not just like rotating a marshmallow over a campfire to average out the heat.
No.
That feels too simple because we are just talking about temperature. We're kind of about quantum information, right?
Yes, exactly.
Sounds more like a corrupted hard drive.
Oh, that is a brilliant way to frame it. How so?
Well, imagine a spinning hard drive where all the corrupted, overheating data is suddenly stuck on one side of the disk.
Okay.
If it stays like that, the disk will warp and shatter. So the universe forces the black hole to roll so the cosmic read-write laser can average out that corrupted data across the entire surface area before the whole system crashes. It rolls to distribute the error.
That is exceptionally accurate. The math dictates that the duration and speed of the roll are an exact integral from the hot pole to the cold pole.
Wow.
It physically rolls over to average the firewall's information heat across its entire surface, and it doesn't stop rolling until the north and south poles are perfectly equalized.
Amazing. Okay, now let's look at the next rotation, the pitch, which is rotating around the y-axis.
Right.
This one deals with the entropy arrow gradient. We're moving from temperature and data to the flow of time itself.
We are dealing with the arrow of time here. Entropy dictates that systems move from order to disorder. That's what gives time its forward direction.
Right.
But imagine a local pocket of space-time right above the black hole's horizon where thermodynamics run backward, a localized zone of negative entropy flow.
Negative entropy, so like a shattered teacup spontaneously reassembling itself.
Exactly. But if the black hole maintains its standard orientation while sitting next to this backward-flowing pocket, its future-pointing normal, the geometric vector that dictates the forward flow of time for the black hole would be effectively inside out for that specific sector.
And the framework says that violates the cubic lattice time register, which, again, just sounds like the universe's master clock, right?
Yeah, yes, it's the structural alignment of time. If we connect this to the bigger picture, the universe insists on a uniform direction for time.
Makes sense.
You cannot have a black hole experiencing forward time while a piece of its horizon is structurally mapped to backward time. Yeah. So to fix this inside-out time vector, the black hole pitches about the y-axis.
But wait, can a black hole even have a forward direction? Mm-hmm. It's a sphere. How do you pitch a sphere?
Well, it is a sphere, but a rotating one. It has an axis of spin, which gives it a pole, an equator, and a directional orientation in space-time relative to the rest of the galaxy. By pitching, tilting that rotational pole forward or backward, the black hole is actively realigning its horizon's relationship with the dominant entropy gradient of the ambient universe.
It literally tilts its own axis to force its forward time direction to match the rest of the universe.
Yes.
It pitches forward or backward to ensure it's facing the correct direction in time.
Exactly. The change in the pitch angle is a direct mathematical resolution of the cross product between the local entropy gradient and the horizon's entropy gradient. It aligns the vectors.
Okay, we have one final rotational movement left to cover. The yaw. Twisting around the z-axis.
Yeah.
This addresses the EREPR torsional lock. And this involves entanglement in wormholes, doesn't it?
It does. EREPR is a principle in physics suggesting that quantumly entangled particles are actually connected by microscopic wormholes.
Einstein-Rosen bridges.
Right. Now imagine a massive entangled wormhole twisting space-time directly around the black hole. This generates something called torsional divergence deep within that quantum lattice boundary layer we discussed earlier.
Torsional divergence. So, twisting stress. The space-time around the black hole is literally knotting up.
Yes. The math shows that the Cayley-Graph state transitions, which is the mathematical mapping of how the black hole's quantum states evolve, have looped back on themselves.
Okay.
They are structurally knotted. And when the torsional stress exceeds a specific threshold, the universe's engine steps in.
I picture this exactly like an old telephone cord. You know, you've been pacing around the kitchen talking on the phone and the coiled cord gets wildly twisted and knotted up.
Oh, yeah. We all remember that.
To fix it, you just hold the receiver up in the air and let the cord naturally spin to unwind all that built-up tension.
That built-up tension is exactly what the framework calls topological torque. And your telephone cord analogy is precisely what the black hole does.
Wow.
To resolve the paradox, the black hole yaws about the z-axis. It physically rotates horizontally like a spinning top to physically unwind the ER bridge.
That is so cool.
It keeps spinning, untwisting the space-time fabric until the torsion checksum for the wormhole relaxes below that critical threshold.
It is untangling its own quantum shoelaces.
Basically, yeah.
So what does this all mean? We have surged, swayed, and heaved. We've rolled, pitched, and yawed. But these six movements don't just happen randomly. The framework says they are all coordinated by a master instruction manual called the Unified Motion Law.
Yes, under the broader chrono-restart theorem, this law states that the complete 6 degree of freedom velocity of the black hole is perfectly mathematically driven by the gradient of paradox divergence.
But here's the massive philosophical question that this all points to.
Okay.
When we look at this equation, this massive six-dimensional gradient, is the black hole choosing to move? Does it sense danger and decide to dodge? Are we talking about some kind of cosmic consciousness?
What's fascinating here is that there is absolutely no choice involved. It completely redefines the debate between free will and determinism on a cosmic scale.
Oh, interesting.
The black hole isn't conscious. Its movement is entirely dictated by what the framework calls the universal collapse principle. The universe fundamentally demands that any logical contradiction must be resolved into a geometric translation.
So contradiction literally becomes movement.
Yes. Whenever any of these distinct paradox sensors exceed their specific thresholds, a non-zero partial derivative triggers in the universal equation.
Okay.
The black hole is then forced by the flexible laws of reality's code to move in a way that minimizes the global entropy functional. It is entirely deterministic. It's just the universe balancing its ultimate spreadsheet to avoid a crash.
For you listening, just think about the scale of what we've explored today.
It's massive.
We started by picturing a black hole dodging a comet that never existed, sidestepping a time travel paradox by bending light cones, and floating on the absence of matter.
Right.
And then we saw it acting like a corrupted hard drive, rolling to distribute data, pitching its axis to align with the flow of time itself, and spinning like a telephone cord to untangle a wormhole.
It's a lot to take in.
In this framework, the physical geometry and motion of the most massive objects in existence are just the universe's way of debugging its own code.
It really reframes how we think about space, mass, and logic.
Oh.
And, well, it leaves us with something quite profound to consider.
What's that?
If a black hole, the most massive, unyielding, and seemingly immovable object in the entire cosmos, is constantly being shoved, tilted, and twisted around by the mere threat of a logical contradiction,
yep.
What invisible paradoxes might be subtly pushing, pulling, and twisting the very space that you and I occupy right now?